विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। Hare Krishna. So this evening I'm supposed to speak on Srila Prabhupada. You want to take the harmonium down? Yeah, you can do that. So how many of you were in the class this morning? Most of you are here. Very good. So Badrinayan Maharaj gave so many wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And some of them are so hilarious, right? Srila Prabhupada's Srila Prabhupada's activities are so wonderful. So we can very well imagine that Srila Prabhupada is a very special personality. Have you ever come across anybody who at the age of 70 started some activity without any money and became successful all over the world? Did anybody ever come across any such personality? There are many great personalities, there are many great achievers in this world, but we can see that most of their achievements were in their youth. Only some politicians actually achieve something at the old age. But even then, there is no politician who started his career at the age of 70 and then became a world-renowned personality due to his achievement. So this is how we can see, just to begin with, Srila Prabhupada is such a unique personality. There is no one like Srila Prabhupada in the entire history of this world. And not only that, Srila Prabhupada started this movement at such an old age and achieved such success within such a short span of time, like just 10 years, he spread the movement all over the world. Can you think of starting something with no money and become successful? Did you ever try anything to do without money and become successful? No. But Srila Prabhupada did. He started something without any money. When Srila Prabhupada went to America, did Srila Prabhupada have any money? He had 40 rupees. But can you change 40 rupees into dollars? No, rupees don't have any value even now actually. And what to speak of those days, rupees didn't have any value. Anyway, so penniless, Srila Prabhupada went to America. And single-handedly started this Krishna consciousness movement and spread it all over the world. Once I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet in Bombay, in Prabhupada's quarters, I had the good fortune of serving Srila Prabhupada quite closely. And so one day, one afternoon, late afternoon, I was sitting at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet,
And there is a balcony in Prabhupada's quarters that is looking towards the temple. Those days the construction was going on. Bombay temple was not complete. The construction is going on. And so Prabhupada was looking out of the window. And then Prabhupada mentioned, I'm the richest man in the world. Just like that. Naturally, I didn't question anything. I was silently sitting there. And Prabhupada said, not only with money, who has 10,000 people at his beck and call? They're prepared to do anything for him. Which company has 10,000 employees? Any company? Those days, I don't think there are many companies. Nowadays, they have many, but those days the industries were not that big. And then Prabhupada pointed out that they are at my beck and call. And then I am not giving them any money, but they are bringing all the money to me. And literally Prabhupada was the richest man. Naturally, Prabhupada himself is saying, so obviously he meant it, that he is the richest man at that time. And then, as you know, in 77 November, Srila Prabhupada left the planet. Generally, when a spiritual leader leaves, what happens to his institution? You know, there were so many spiritual leaders had been there in the recent past. I'm sure you can remember some, though you don't have to tell me their names, but at least in your mind you can think of them. Like, when they were here, they created quite a sensation, they had quite a lot of followers. But after they left, after they died, what happened to their institution? You can count one after another. The institutions disintegrated. Institution collapsed. And those personalities just, you know, people forgot them. Although they created some big sensation. I remember in mid-60s, early 70s, there are some spiritual personalities in America. They are big name, had thousands of followings, big establishments. But where are they now? Your generation never even heard of their names. But in those, say, how many, 50 years back, they all were such powerful spiritual leaders. Their mission is finished. Their name is forgotten. However, what's happening with Srila Prabhupada's movement? ISKCON? Why ISKCON is expanding in such a way? Because Srila Prabhupada structured ISKCON in such a way that ISKCON is continuing to spread Krishna consciousness movement in the future. Generally, after the founder or spiritual head's demise, their institution collapses. But Srila Prabhupada's institution, ISKCON, instead of collapsing or instead of deteriorating or diminishing, this movement, this institution is expanding. more and more. For example, when Prabhupada left the planet, there were about 108 temples and ISKCON centers, Gurukul farms, etc. 108. But today, how many temples and centers we have? Any idea? More than 650. So that's an indication how it's growing. Although the institution of ISKCON has faced a lot of difficulties, but the movement is growing. Now, how many of you remember Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's very, very unique prediction that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world in every town and village? How many of you remember that verse? Oh, very good. So all of you know that. Prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mona. So will it happen? Will it happen? Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, anything is impossible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead says something, can that go in vain? Can that go unfulfilled? Like His power is inconceivable. Like, just consider, He looks at the material nature which was not there. It was only Mahatattva, the basic ingredient for creation, material nature. And the whole material nature became manifest. He just looks at it. Right? And as a result of that, what happens? Innumerable universes manifested. And all those universes are floating in space. All the wonderful, they all are being maintained in such a wonderful way. In this material nature, in the world around us, in nature, do you see any discord or disharmony? Everything is so perfect, right? Sun comes up exactly at certain time. Moon comes up, sun sets, moon sets. Moon goes through waxing and waning period. Then, along with that, all kinds of wonderful things happen. Like, with the rays of the sun, from ocean, the water is evaporated. Sun heat makes the ocean water evaporate. And that forms the cloud, right? And the cloud is dispersed all over by the wind. And then comes out in the form of rain. What an amazing water supply arrangement. In anywhere, wherever we see such perfect arrangement. And it's all being done by Krishna's glance. You know how Krishna's glance works? Krishna looks towards the material nature. Then Krishna's glance actually becomes Lord Shiva, Mahadev. And through the glance, the living entities come to the material nature. And then, by nature's arrangement, they get different types of bodies. Not they, we. That's how we came here. Krishna looked and through Krishna's glance we all came, through the medium of Lord Shiva. Therefore Lord Shiva is worshipped as Lingam. Lord Shiva is the father that way. And Mahamaya Durga is the mother. Material nature is the mother. And Krishna's glance is the father. Through his glance we all came here. And when you came here, what kind of bodies we got? First we got a subtle body made of mind, intelligence and false ego. Then you got a gross body according to the subtle body. Perfect body, isn't it? All our bodies are perfect. Like, so many activities are going on in this body. Like we're eating food. Although we like to eat food, but what is the real purpose of food? The food functions in two ways. One is it provides the energy in the body, and the other is it produces the body cells. The food that we eat, that becomes the body. The body is composed of cells. And then, now the body has to be maintained, body has to function. Like, in order to function, how does a machine function? How does a motor car function? How many of you know? How many of you know have driving license? How many of you drive? Okay, how many of you see motor cars? How many of you see a motor car moving? How does the motor car move? The engine? Right. What does the engine do? The engine has the fuel. And then the fuel is injected into the carburetor. Carburetor has a spark plug and it ignites the fuel. Right? The fuel, so fuel is gas, and when it is burned, then what happens? It's gone. So that's how came the piston. But when the fuel is there, piston is pushed up. When the fuel is burnt, piston goes down. So this is how piston is going up and down. Right? Now the piston is connected to the wheel. And the piston is going this way, up and down, and the wheel is going this way. And it's moving. Now what is causing the engine to move, engine to function? The fuel, and the fuel needs to be burned. So in our body, what is the fuel? The food is the fuel. And it burns. And that's why, now, the fuel needs, in order to burn, the fuel is actually carbon complex, carbon compounds, right? So, when it burns, what happens? In order to burn, what it needs? It needs oxygen, right? So, now in our body, the fuel is the food, and it needs to burn, there is a fire of digestion, right, the carburetor, and there is a supply of oxygen. We are breathing, right? So when you breathe, then what happens? How many of you know? When the fuel burns, what happens with oxygen? It becomes carbon dioxide and water vapor, H2O and C2O, right? So, lungs is supplying the oxygen. See, what perfect arrangement. Now, in order for the food to become energy, there are various other considerations. But now the energy needs to be supplied to the body. So how the energy is being supplied? Through the blood circulation. Blood is carrying the energy, and the heart is pumping. Heart is pumping fresh blood, it goes to the body, supplies the energy, then the blood becomes impure, no more energy. Then the new blood goes and old blood comes back and gets a fresh supply of energy. Now see what a complex arrangement this is. Now do you think it happened just by chance or accident? This human body is a product of chance? No. Human body is a divine arrangement of Mother Nature. Krishna's arrangement. Krishna made the arrangement for this body. Krishna made arrangement for everything. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make is Krishna can do anything. So if Krishna can do anything, and if Krishna says that this Krishna consciousness movement is spread all over the world, will it happen? Now other activities like Krishna glanced towards the material nature, Mahavishnu glanced towards the material nature became manifest. Krishna said, let there be light, and there was light. Krishna said, he just wished and things happened. But when it came to spreading Krishna consciousness, Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, did not do that. You know why he didn't do that? He made the prediction, but he himself didn't do that. What's the prediction, by the way? Every town and village. Right? Now, when first point is, when Krishna says that it would spread all over the world in every town and village, will it happen? Yes. How many of you think that it will happen? How many of you think that it will definitely happen? And you raise both your hands. Say, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, but the point is, in this case, he said it will happen, but he didn't make it happen himself. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his devotees to accomplish that mission. Because this is such an amazing thing that would happen to this world. And he wanted to give the credit for achieving that to a devotee. And that's why Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, how can such a thing happen? And Prabhupada is a pure devotee. How many of you are convinced that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee? Yeah. Thank you. Now, what is the sign of a pure devotee? What makes a devotee a pure devotee? His total dependence on Krishna. What is the criteria for devotion? In Bhagavad Gita, what did Krishna say? Mamekam sharanam braja. So what is the secret of devotion? Sharanam, surrender. So a pure devotee is a person who is 100% surrendered to Krishna. A devotee is a person who is surrendered to Krishna. Pure devotee is a person who is completely surrendered to Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. So, right? You got this point? What is the criteria for devotion? What makes a devotee a devotee? His surrender to Krishna. When you are not surrendered to Krishna, then we are in Maya. We are karmis. Karmis means we act and we want to enjoy the results of our action. But when one gives up the tendency to try to independently enjoy, independently control, independently lord over, but surrenders to Krishna, then he becomes a devotee. How many of you have surrendered to Krishna? Don't hesitate. If you didn't surrender, then why did you shave up your heads? If you didn't surrender, then why are you here? Right? I know you all are very humble. And that's why you don't want to admit that you have surrendered. But the bottom line is, you all have surrendered. Okay, now let's see, how many of you have surrendered? Okay. That's why you are a devotee. And to the extent you surrender, to that extent you become pure. Our impurity is our desire to lord over. Our impurity of consciousness is that we do not want to surrender. We want to be independent. So the criteria for becoming a devotee is to surrender. Now, purity means no impurities, isn't it? No impurity means purity. So, when there is no impurity in our consciousness, in our thinking, then only we become pure. So, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee because Prabhupada was completely surrendered to Krishna. Prabhupada did not have any other reliance or dependence. That's why we see that Prabhupada could venture to go to a country like America without any money. Doesn't it show how much he was depending upon Krishna? I'll give you one example. Once in Vrindavan, one night, I used to be with Srila Prabhupada from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning. And often Srila Prabhupada couldn't sleep at night. So, during summertime, Srila Prabhupada often used to sleep outside on the roof because it's kind of pleasant outside in night, in summer. In a choir bed, chopai, kya bolte hain? Aya khatiya. The Prabhupada used to sleep and lie on a khatiya. Of course, he used to put mattress and thing. But he used to use that because it's easy to transport. You can take it out and place it there. So, Prabhupada used to sleep there at night in summer. And one day, Prabhupada was not able to sleep, so he was sitting up and I was massaging Srila Prabhupada. And how many of you have gone to Vrindavan? Okay, most of you have gone. How many of you have gone to Srila Prabhupada's quarters? How many of you have gone to Prabhupada's upstairs on the roof? Okay. there is a room upstairs, and then at the back of that, there is a balcony, roof. So Prabhupada was sitting there on the bed, and I was massaging, and that is just next to the guest house. And I was seeing that some devotees were looking out of their windows, looking at Srila Prabhupada. It was, mind you, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they all came from America or Australia or Europe, and those days Prabhupada's health was not good, so Prabhupada was not really seeing. The devotees were not getting an opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada. Only sometimes groups of devotees used to come and to chant in Srila Prabhupada's room. That was the way some devotees used to get the darshan. So I was seeing that some devotees are looking at, they came all the way from America and Australia, far off places, and they're just in the middle of the night at 1 o'clock, they're looking up, looking down at Srila Prabhupada on the roof. And I was feeling, in one hand I felt, oh, I'm so fortunate that I had the good fortune of being with Srila Prabhupada, with him, I had the fortune of massaging him. Whereas all these devotees are looking at Srila Prabhupada, they came all the way, thousands of miles away, just to have a glimpse of Srila Prabhupada in the middle of the night. So, I was feeling that now Srila Prabhupada has so many disciples, so many followers, and at this time I have this good fortune when so many devotees are dying to serve Srila Prabhupada. So I just told Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, I wish I was with you when you are in New York alone. For a short while Prabhupada didn't say anything, but then Prabhupada just told me, I was never alone. Krishna was always with me. And I felt so small, so humbled, that who do I think I'm serving, as if my service to him has any significance or consequence. Like, here is a person who Krishna is taking care of all the time. So that was such a wonderful realization, that Krishna was with Srila Prabhupada all the time. And Prabhupada, in his own words, I was never alone. Krishna was always with me. So that is a pure devotee who is 100% surrendered to Krishna, and Krishna is always with him. Another time, anyway, since I started to say it, and Srila Prabhupada, you see, many of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, unfortunately, was not looking at Srila Prabhupada with admiration and appreciation. Often they criticized Srila Prabhupada, like they used to call Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And when Prabhupada's devotees started to call him Prabhupada, they raised a big objection. Why they are calling you Prabhupada? Anyway, so that was the mood with some of them. So one day, somebody came and told Srila Prabhupada that some of his godbrothers were criticizing him because he came without stopping at his Guru Maharaj's Samadhi Mandir. In Mayapur, there is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi. So they criticized that he didn't stop at his Guru Maharaj's Samadhi. When Prabhupada heard that, Prabhupada just said, "Do they think that I am ever separated from my spiritual master? Do they think that I am ever separated from my Guru Maharaj? My Guru Maharaj is always with me, and I am always with my Guru Maharaj." So that is a pure devotee, who is 100% surrendered to his spiritual master and Krishna, and his spiritual master and Krishna are always with him. They are never separated. Thank you very much.